Hello, my wonderful friends. Welcome to Faith FM Drive Time. Welcome to Big Q&A. This is the show where we respond to difficult questions concerning God and faith, contemporary religion and the Bible. This is the show where we look at world religious trends in the light of Bible prophecy. I'm Pastor Gary and I'm your host. It is such a privilege to join with you today. This week, we're looking at growth in the Christian experience. This is such a beaut subject. This is for those who may feel that your spiritual life has maybe become a little bit stagnant and you're wondering, where are we actually going? Now, of course, this week, we've been discussing the overall theme of how can I actually fall in love with Jesus? And of course, the book that we've been using as our sort of textbook is a beautiful book, Steps to Christ. And of course, that was our free gift last week, and quite a number of you actually took advantage of that offer last week. Now, of course, today we're dealing with a really beaut theme. How do I know that God is leading in my life? How can I be confident in those really big decisions? You know, each of us is actually called from time to time to come and make some really significant decisions in our life. Maybe they are decisions concerning my future, my employment, maybe my finance, sometimes with marriage, so many different areas. How can I be confident that God is actually leading in my life? Now, today, we've got a really special co-host with us. Now, my co-host today was actually going to be Pastor David Butcher, but he actually got called away. So at the very last minute, I actually had to make a phone call to a good mate of mine, a member of my old church at Brighton, Noel Garvin. And Noel agreed to come in and join with me today. So it is fantastic to have him in the studio. Welcome to you, Noel.
Good afternoon, Gary. Thank you for having me here. It's a pleasure to be here.
Look, it's fantastic to have you in the studio, and I really do appreciate you coming in at the last minute. I know you've got a fantastic story, and that's why I've sort of invited you in. But, you know, I'm conscious that many will really appreciate what it is that you have to share. Now, how has your day been?
My day has been really, really good, actually. I went down to a brand new gym today and got caught up in doing some new type of training that I'm getting into. And I was just relaxing, actually, when I received the phone call that got me moving, shall we say.
Got you moving, yeah. Actually, that's something that I've actually been on my list of things that I must do is go to the gym. I'm trying to get back into my walking. For about 5 or 6, 7 years there, I've been walking 7.5 kilometres most days. But the last, probably most of this year, I've really got incredibly slack. So I'm saying, hey, look, I must get back into my exercise program before I put on any more weight than what I already have actually put in as a result of my not doing that walking. And now, Noel, look, let's come back to your story, because I really appreciate your story over the most recent years. Now, most recently, you've been engaged in a study program. Now, I'm really conscious that you're one of those people who's made a midlife career change. Now, this to me, I think, is really a significant. Now, can you just share with us, what have you been studying and how's it been going?
I've been studying a course called Clinical Pastoral Education. That has been done through St Barnabas College here in Adelaide, mm-hmm. just up on King William Street. And it's basically a course to allow me to get into the chaplaincy theme or position at this point in time in the hospital system. So that was a 16-week course that started back in February when mm-hmm. I started my long service leave, and it went for 16 weeks. It was a full day of coursework at the beginning of the week, and then we obviously had assignments that needed to be done ready for the next week. And then we did 2 days a week at a hospital as a student chaplain, you would say.
Mm-hmm. So it's a sort of a very intensive course leading to chaplaincy opportunities at the end of the day.
That's correct. It's a course even that pastors that are studying theology have to do in case they want to get into chaplaincy these days, because chaplaincy has actually become a bit of a specialty area, you might say.
Oh, look, it certainly has. Look, I'm really conscious that, in fact, as a pastor myself, I'm really thankful when there is actually a chaplain available in certain hospital situations. I don't mind normal hospital visitation, but I do have to admit that when we're dealing with ICU and some of the more challenging areas of chaplaincy, that is an area that I really appreciate being able to have somebody who's actually trained in that area to certainly minister to individuals.
It's one of those areas that I guess because I have a background in nursing and I've been nursing for 37 years. I started when I was 19 years of age, led into nursing by God, that I'm very comfortable in the hospital system. I've worked in hospitals across different parts of Australia, and I found that chaplaincy actually is very good from a nursing point of view in the hospital system, because the two marry very nicely.
Okay, Noel. Look, I'm really interested that you've actually shared that, because to me it does raise some really important points. I'm really, I suppose, interested in that process that brought you to your midlife career change, because this is something that I know that lots of people are listening to our program at some point will have actually considered. Now, can I just sort of start? Maybe we go right back to the very beginning. How did you decide to do your nursing studies? Because you've mentioned that you're a trained RN. I know you've got some specialties there as well. But how did you decide to do your nursing studies initially? I mean, was that a God-led thing or no?
Yes, it was a God-led thing, but it was certainly not a career I had even remotely thought of actually doing. I mean, back when I was thinking about different careers, I was always either going to be a church pastor, a police officer, or these days you could say paramedic. So yep, police officer, yep, paramedic, or church pastor. And that was something that came to me over the growing up years, and mm-hmm, I could not decide which one I wanted to do. In fact, when I left school, I was a little bit confused as to which way to go. And my mother actually had said to me one day, "Have you thought of doing nursing?" I turned around and I said, "Nursing? That's crazy." Hmm. You know, you marry a nurse, because, I mean, back in those days, there weren't a lot of men that did nursing.
That's true.
It was actually quite unusual for guys to go into nursing. Look, there were some around. I did notice that when I visit people in hospital, but the majority of nurses were female.
It was a female occupation.
Yeah. And my mother used two words that really got me interested, and that was emergency nursing. Mm-hmm. She said, "Look, if the other occupations don't work out that you want to do, and by all means, we would be supportive of whatever one you go into, nursing could be one that you could do that would be a good option B, should we say."
Okay. Were there any struggles that you had in making that decision? I mean, did that just come to you fairly quickly without much of a struggle? Or was there a struggle involved?
There was a struggle involved if you're talking about coming into nursing, yes, because I had been baptised. I'll go back a little step. I was born in Western Australia, in Perth, in King Edward Memorial Hospital. I grew up on a farm just down in the southwest corner of Western Australia, and I did my schooling through both the Catholic College senior high school, and my initial primary schooling was through our Adventist primary school that was mm-hmm. going at the time. Different points I got interested in becoming a paramedic, different points I got becoming interested as a police officer, and then just after I was baptised, I felt really called into becoming a pastor. And I guess that's where we will eventually get to the point of talking about chaplaincy.
Yeah.
The situation arose when Mum suggested nursing, and it was like, really? And yeah.
You just meant, you used a term there that I'd just like to pick up on. You said at that time you felt called into ministry. Now, can you just open that out? What do you actually mean by that?
Okay, back in the 80s when you went to high school, you were given the opportunity of working with an employer for 2 weeks. At that point in time, lots of guys went and did a trade of some sort, so they'd work for 2 weeks as a carpenter or a plumber or something like that. The women would go and do, administrative type positions. I wanted to get into ambulance, but I just couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, police wasn't an option at least at that stage mm-hmm. that I can remember. So I looked around and I don't even remember where the suggestion came from, but I did think of going with my local church pastor for those 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And, when I sort of mentioned it at school, I was surprised at the amount of support I got.
Wow.
And anyway, I approached my pastor at the time and he said, yeah, sure, come with me for 2 weeks.
Excellent.
And that was really, really interesting.
So the calling was really a deep impression within you that this was an area that you would actually like to actually investigate, you'd like to move into. Mm. It was something that it was, I suppose, a little bit of an unknown, but you were feeling impressed.
That's correct. And I can remember just after I was baptized, like I said, at 14, over a period of weeks of just thinking about it, praying about it, I came out one Friday night and I actually said to my parents, look, I feel called into ministry.
Yeah.
And that's where it all started from. Mm-hmm. So from there, the next step was I spent these 2 weeks with my then local pastor. The pastor had actually baptized me and he took me to various programs that I could go to.
Yeah.
We attended Bible studies. We set up different programs in the community. And it was a really, really enjoyable 2 weeks. I went back to school really feeling as if that I would be going
to... That was a very fulfilling time.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, since that time, you've done your nursing studies. You've now got a number of specialties. I think your specialty is in emergency. Is that correct?
Yes, my background now is in critical care emergency, but my specialty is actually trauma nursing. I work here in one of the major public hospitals in Adelaide as a trauma nurse case manager, and being a background in emergency nursing, I obviously also work within the emergency department as well.
Okay. Really do appreciate that. So with that background, I mean, that's what I would call a very significant role within any hospital. Why did you actually decide to change? I mean, obviously you've made a change. You're wanting now to move into a chaplaincy role. Was it a mistake originally to go into nursing?
No, it wasn't. It was definitely not a mistake because I was led into nursing through putting faith and trust in God. And yes, I guess I tested God as in, is this what you really want me to do?
Mm-hmm.
And he certainly showed me that that was what he wanted me
mm-hmm.
to do.
Mm-hmm.
From there, I left home and travelled to the eastern states and trained at the Sydney Adventist Hospital as a enrolled nurse,
mm-hmm.
and I worked in a number of different areas over there. I then moved back to Western Australia because I wasn't going to meet or marry anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Ha, ha, ha. God had different ideas, but that's mm-hmm. okay. I came back to Western Australia and I found that my level of training was challenging me because I'm the sort of person that likes to do more.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, after a lot of prayer, I did my registered nurse training through Edith Cowan University in Perth.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I was still working at Royal Perth at the time. And along each step of the way, there were different times where I thought I would be going into training to be a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
But God kept saying, no, the time's not right yet.
Okay.
What I mean by that, if I can go back again a number of years, I found out after the effect that had I made it known fairly widely, there would have been a young couple who would have actually paid for my tuition to go through Avondale. I didn't find out until it was...
Much later. Yes.
Then I found out after that that there were certain subjects that I probably could have done in high school, which I didn't do. Mm-hmm. I just did a typical standard of going through up through year 11 and 12, and that was just a very open course of study. But it wasn't, it was again a blockage by God, I would say, that the timing wasn't right. He needed me in nursing to get that really good foundation of caring for people, listening to people. And I certainly have had many opportunities to sit and listen and talk with patients and help them through not only what needs to be done from a nursing perspective, but listening to what's happening in their lives and talking and letting them talk.
So this is actually a transition that's occurring in your life right now. Now, how... are you finding that fulfillment in the study that you're now doing? I mean, why have you made this change into changing your career direction mid-career?
When you are a Christian and you put your faith in God and you ask for His leading, He certainly honours that. He, if you want to serve Him and do service for Him, He definitely will open that door. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it's comfortable. And sometimes you have to take the first step before He opens the next door. So my...
I'm interested that you actually said that, because I am conscious that there are many, many people who are trying to make significant decisions in their lives, they sort of are praying, saying, Lord, you lead me and you show me the way. And yet you seem to be saying that you take a first step and God almost responds accordingly and opens future doors. But you may not, do I get it right, that you may not get the full understanding of the full path straight away?
That is correct. That is definitely what has happened in my case, and talking to other friends, it has certainly happened in their situation. Occasionally some people know right from the start that they're going to be a nurse and they walk down that path. Some people know they're definitely going to be a paramedic or a pastor, and the door just opens for them and it makes sense and they know they're serving God in that area. In other cases, yes, and it was certainly my situation. I was very comfortable where I was living back home in WA. Life was going pretty good, and I was plucked basically from my comfort zone because I had said to God, if you want me nursing, let this happen. And it happened, not when I wanted it, but it happened eventually, and it was like, wow, I've got to get on and do this and honour God by what I said I would do.
Yeah, yeah.
And when it came to answering your question about chaplaincy, it was a similar story. I was actually up at North New South Wales at one of our big church camps up there, and we were listening to a gentleman talking on the different robes of Christ, and I think it was on a Sunday night. I just really, really felt the call of God to go into ministry, that now was the time.
Okay.
And as a pastor, you would know what that feeling is like when you know that God is definitely calling you to do a change. So I remember thinking and just praying and feeling the Spirit, Holy Spirit talking to me, saying, now is the time to go into ministry. And I mentioned it to a few close friends and to my wife, and they were very supportive of it, and obviously my parents were as well. But it is a calling that I knew the timing was right.
Okay, so are you thankful you made that move?
Absolutely. But it wasn't just, it still required me to leave the direction to God, because what I thought I was going to do as far as going into ministry and what I've ended up doing has been
it's
a
leaving
route.
It leaves a little bit of, I suppose, insecurity there for a while, doesn't it?
That's correct.
It's not quite as we like to. I mean, I'm one of those people that likes to have the future planned out for me. You know, I like to be able to see from beginning to end. But it almost sounds from what you're saying that when we are walking with Christ, seeing from the very beginning to the very end is something that may not actually happen.
That's correct. I mean, we know from the Bible that there are things that are definitely going to happen, but that path to getting there is twists and turns and up and downs. And for you, as a person who has faced it, you get a lot of challenges, and quite often you have to take that step, the door opens, take another step, and take another step.
Yeah.
And God honours that positiveness on your side, that you're going to have faith and trust in his leading, and he opens and closes
the necessary doors.
And even if he does close a door, he always opens a window.
Excellent. Yeah, and that is so true. I've certainly found that to be the case in my own ministry. But folks, look, we do need to come to some music. Now, we're going to come back after this break, and we're going to be digging in more into this subject. What does it really mean for the Holy Spirit to be talking to me? How does that actually occur? How does he direct my life? And we're going to be bouncing, myself and Noel, over the next half hour, so please stay with us. Please enjoy this really beautiful song that is so reflective of what we're talking about today. You are my hiding place, and when indeed our Lord God is our hiding place, indeed he opens doors for us that we could only imagine if this wasn't the case. Please enjoy Salah, You Are My Hiding Place.
You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let the weak say I am strong in the strength of the Lord.
You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs.
And that's such a wonderful Christian song. That's a Salah. They're singing "You Are My Hiding Place." A beautiful song. Love that that particular rendition. Now, folks, look, today we do have a giveaway. Now, of course, this week we have got a beautiful book. It's actually the book called Messiah. Now, Messiah is the contemporary version of a book known as Desire of Ages. And this, I know some of our listeners will actually have this book. This is a book that I try to read at least every second year. I certainly read it as part of my devotional time. And this book never ceases to bless me. Now, guys, look, if you really want to build your spiritual life, if you want to build your commitment to Jesus Christ, if you want him to come closer to you, then this is the book that you need. You can use this in your devotional time. You can highlight it. You can underline it. You can mark it. You can pray your way through it. It will actually transition your life into something spiritually alive. Now, guys, look, if you would like the book Messiah, this is our offer for you today. Then all you need to do is to text us. Now, our studio text number is 0488 808 11. That number again is 0488 808 11, and the code is just five letters, SA for South Australia, 324. So no gap between the SA and 324, because our robot doesn't know what you're talking about when you do that. We've got a dumb version of robot. And this robot, SA 324, five digits in a row, text that to 0488 808 11, and our robot, he'll ask you just a few questions, and that'll mean we'll be able to get this book to you in the fastest way possible. 0488 808 11, and the code is SA 3 20 24. Now, my friends, you are listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A with Pastor Gary. And today my co-host is in fact Noel Garvin. And Noel is sharing with us, answering a really essential question to us. How do I know God is leading in my life? How can I be confident that God is leading in those really big decisions? Now, Noel, really appreciate what it is that you've actually been sharing with us so far, because I'm conscious that so many of our listeners do actually ask these questions from time to time. Now, look, can you sort of bring it together for us, this experience of the study course that you're now doing? What was the next step after you felt, I suppose, you felt the call of God to move from a well-established a position where you certainly have been well-respected, back to the life of a student again? So what was the next step?
Education. I mean, when you get the call, you suddenly realise, okay, what do I need to do? Where do I need to go? So my first instinct was to apply to our university over in New South Wales at Currumbong, Adelaide. Okay. It's not Adelaide.
Avondale
University.
Yeah.
And I actually applied for, I believe it was a Master's of Theology, mm-hmm. because I've already got my Bachelor of Nursing and a Graduate Diploma in Emergency Nursing. The Bachelor's particularly gave me 1 year off, mm-hmm. and it was going to be a short course of 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's where I thought I was going to go down the track of being a normal church pastor. And that seemed to be, in my mind, the way that God was calling me.
Mm-hmm.
No, it wasn't. Because after I had spoken to a very good pastor friend of mine, Pastor Ernst William, and his wife, and I spoke with my wife, and we prayed more about it, the idea of changing course midstream to do that sort of study, plus the internship and that sort of thing, just didn't really seem to fit my skills at the time. And then obviously you and I had a bit of a talk at one stage, and you actually mentioned also that chaplaincy could be a better fit. And this is how God works sometimes. You ask the question, you know, or stated that some people are wondering, well, what do I do? Sometimes you've got to go, okay, God has given me this, this, and this, And it just makes sense that I push on that door. So I'd applied for Avondale and I'd been accepted. But when I sat down and looked at my skill set, it didn't fit what I thought I needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it made sense that I go down a route that actually made sense. And I didn't have any aversion to doing chaplaincy. It just wasn't on the radar at that point in time.
Yeah.
So once I realised I was going to go down the chaplaincy route, it was then a case of looking around, where can I apply to do chaplaincy studies?
Mm-hmm.
And initially, I actually did a course of study at Tabor College here in Adelaide. And during that time, I actually had the privilege of going to Papua New Guinea, not as through the college, but through the Adventist Church.
Mm-hmm.
And that, when you say to God, I want to serve you, the biggest thing he asks for is service for him,
mm-hmm.
to bring honour and glory to him,
mm-hmm.
not for yourself, because that just doesn't work. Now, look, you can be in any occupation. You may be, you know, at home with the kids. God is still using you.
Mm. In other words, what we've got here is a situation whereby God is actually calls us into service, but sometimes even we are not aware of what that service is going to be. I know that certainly in my own life, as I sort of look back now from my days back in the early 80s, sitting at, certainly in those days, Avondale College, Avondale University now, if somebody had said to me, well, this is going to be the route that your ministry is going to take, I actually would have laughed at them, because it's been a circuitous route. It's had its ups, it's had its downs, it's had its exciting times, it's actually had its depressing times. And yet, you know, the thing that I'm more and more conscious of as I draw close to the time of my life when I've got to start to say, hey, you know, how can I serve the Lord? Maybe post, you know, post ministry, then, or post formal ministry, then I'm just so conscious that God has worked in a remarkable manner and I stand amazed myself. But one of the things I really appreciate about you saying is this issue of service. In other words, God calls us to service, and sometimes we don't actually realize exactly where he wants us to serve.
That is correct. God is an amazing God, and when we ask him to show us where we are to serve, he may just want us to be local, to be in that area of influence that we have in our daily lives. He may also ask us to serve somewhere in the country where we didn't think we would necessarily end up going. He may call us to go overseas and serve a community overseas, maybe for a short time, maybe for a long time. You never know what God is going to call you to do. But like, and I love what you just said, when you look back, mm-hmm. and that is probably a real key thing to take away, is when you look back, knowing that you've served God, you can see how he has led you through those ups and downs, through those valleys, those impressive moments. He definitely puts you on the high point of the mountain where you can go, wow, look at the view.
Wow, yeah. And look, that is so true about what you're saying. Myself, the common theme, in fact, what we're talking about today is this entire subject. How can I know that God is leading in my life? I know that I actually put that to a pastor at one point when I was struggling to know which direction I should actually go. And he said, Gary, you've been called to be faithful where you are right now. You are faithful where you are right now. He is the one who will guide and direct, and he's the one that will open the doors. He's not going to tell you the end from the beginning now, but what you need to do is to be able to be available to walk through those opportunities, as he called them, others call them those doors, that do actually come to you. And you know, as I think about this, I think of that passage in Romans, the just shall walk by faith. And you know, really, that's exactly what this is doing. And we're not going to know exactly what is the occurring from beginning to end, but the just, according to Paul, walk by faith. You know, I found in my life that that walk is such a marvelous thing, particularly when you get to being an old bloke like me, and you can actually look back and you can say, hey, I can see what that wonderful God has actually done through my entire life. But look, Noel, one of the things I just would like to throw at you, I suppose, another, just a slightly different direction if I can. And that's this whole subject of service, because you did actually bring this up just a few moments ago, and the incredible blessing of service. There's a passage of scripture that says the Son of Man came not to minister into, but to minister. He gave his life as a ransom for many. This was one of the great object of his life. Everything else was secondary. And this book that I was actually reading there goes on to suggest that just as Christ was called to service, so we also have actually been called to service, and you actually find happiness and completeness in service. Now, I know, Noel, that just a little while ago, you actually had a remarkable service opportunity. You actually went to Papua New Guinea. Now, look, I'd love to just be able to touch base with you, because this is part of the big picture of, I suppose, Noel, that a lot of people may not be conscious of. What did you do up in Papua New Guinea, and did you find satisfaction from that?
Yes, I found great satisfaction from being over there doing the service to others. The Papua New Guinea for Christ program that was run by the Papua New Guinea mission was fantastic. I believe it actually was meant to have gone ahead in 2020, but indeed, because of something called COVID, I don't know whether
you've
heard about COVID, but post-COVID, this opportunity came up. And I was invited to go with Pastor Ernst again to Papua New Guinea. He was going to be preaching the main theme as the pastor. I was going over, because of my nursing role, to preach or talk about health that was related to the theme of the day. We were sent over to Papua New Guinea, the arrangements were put in place, and I ended up in a beautiful little village area called Kesavaka. And we were a fair distance inland and away from the nearest town by about 60 or 70 kilometres, and then we were further.
You know, tourists never get to see any of this part, do they?
No, I mean, don't get me wrong, Papua New Guinea is a beautiful place to visit, but this was my first time being there, and we were being put into, everyone was being put into various different places. Some people in major areas, others like myself and Pastor Ernst, we were put into Kesavaka. And we became known as the Kesavaka Boys. We were really adopted by those beautiful Papua New Guineans. And it was such a privilege. And I saw some miraculous answers to prayer. Just one quick little story. We had been there probably a couple of days. And I was actually asked to come over and visit a lady who was very, very ill. And with my nursing background, I was sort of thinking, well, I don't really have a lot of equipment and da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
And I got there and my pastor that was sort of with me whilst I was visiting, I forget the term that they use, but that doesn't matter. We went into where the tents were, into this tent, and we heard some beautiful singing and playing just on very simple instruments like the guitar. And the lady and gentleman just wanted prayer. That's all they wanted was prayer. And, you know, I knelt there with the pastor and I prayed that if it was God's will that this young lady would be healed so that she could return back to the programs. Now, I did have some very basic equipment, and from my nursing assessment, I actually felt she really needed to be taken to the nearest medical centre and then potentially to the nearest hospital, which was quite some distance away. But I thought, these guys want prayer. Okay, I will pray. And it's one of the most humbling things when you pray that prayer and you can't do anything about it.
Yes, yes.
You know, visually you see something, but you know that if it's God's will, he will, and he does, perform miracles. And later on that afternoon into the early evening, I actually received word that she had turned the corner and was going to be at the program again that night. So that was a fantastic situation. And then another situation that I was really privileged from a service point of view is, as I'm an ordained elder within the Seventh-day Adventist Church, I was actually given permission by the president of the mission that we were in to baptize. Mm-hmm. So I got the privilege of baptizing, I think it was 20 people, right on the final Sabbath that we were there. And that was to be able to baptize people in the waters of baptism, knowing that they were then going to be going into service for God, was just a wonderful privilege out in the open in a fast-flowing river, nature all around us, 100 people singing beautiful hymns as people were being baptized. It was just fantastic, along with another elder and two pastors.
Yeah, no, look, this is just so powerful what you're actually saying there, Noel, because the thing that just rings true to me is that there is an amazing blessing in a thing called service. You know, we live in a world today where it's very much the workaday world, the get me, look after my family, you know, don't look much beyond, you know, where I'm actually at. But what you seem to be saying is that the more that you actually give, the more service you become involved in, the greater the blessing is, both for other people out there and also for ourselves.
That is correct. That doesn't mean that it's necessarily easy. I mean, I had to leave my gorgeous wife at home for 3 weeks, and that was a little bit challenging for both of us, because we were only able to catch up occasionally. But when you trust God and you ask God to open doors in that service for him, he does it for you.
He does. He does. And look, that's the thing that I'm just so conscious, the just shall walk by faith. And this was something that certainly at one point, I mean, in my ministry, I was talking to another, because I had some really challenging times, particularly during my days of preparing for ministry and just talking to other pastors. This was the thing that repetitiously just came through to me. The just shall walk by faith. The just shall walk by faith. And you know, I would actually say to those, there are people today who I'll be very surprised who aren't actually praying right now, Lord, what shall I do? Maybe it might be in some area of education, and maybe it might be some financial, maybe it might be marriage, these types of issues. You know, to me, as I look at the Word of God, I see, you know, seeking counsel from godly friends, looking at the Word of God itself, praying, so essential in this decision-making process. But we want to come to those things just after this next break. We're going to come to another song. This is Faith First, and we're playing Where There Is Faith. Please enjoy this really beautiful song.
Steve.
And that is Faith First, and they've been singing Where There Is Faith, and what a beaut song that that really is. Now, folks, look, don't forget, please don't forget that giveaway book that we have got for you today. This is a real ripper. This is one of the best. I use it myself. I've given these books away a great deal. This book is entitled Messiah. It's a contemporary adaptation of Desire of Ages. If your spiritual life is down, if perhaps it needs lifting up, if you want to come closer to Jesus Christ, then I can guarantee you that if you just spend half an hour a day just reading and praying through this particular book, it will have that impact on your life. I would challenge you, please don't miss this offer. If you would like to take advantage of this offer, please contact us. Now, our studio text number is 04888 80811, and in that text, all you need to do is to put our code for today, which is SA for South Australia, 324, just five digits in a row, no gap between the SA and the 324. SA 324, and just send that text through to 04888 80811, and that'll go straight through to our robot. Our robot will ask a few details of you so that we can get this book to you in the very fastest way possible. You will love this particular book. Now, my friends, you are listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A with Pastor Gary, and today my co-host has been Noel Garvin, and Noel's one of our church members at the Brighton Seventh-day Adventist Church right here in South Oz, and he's been sharing his experience. We've been asking these questions: how do I know that God is leading in my life, and how can I be confident that he's leading in those big decisions? Now, Noel, we've got about 5 minutes before we actually need to come to the top of the hour and actually sign off. But what would you say to someone who maybe is looking, maybe a midlife transition, maybe what am I going to study in my life? Maybe, you know, I mean, maybe a marriage a situation, they're really praying for direction, you know, and they're saying, Lord, please reveal it to me. I mean, we've been told on one hand to walk by faith, and yet on the other hand, we're wanting certainty of direction. How would you actually recommend that these people move ahead?
First of all, like you just said, pray. Prayer is the most powerful way. Meet with people and ask people that you trust to pray for you, that God will open those doors. But also look around and claim Bible promises. Remember, it says back in Psalm 139 that David was talking, and he says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And then it goes on to say that God knows us before we were born. While we're being knitted together and becoming that human being, God knows us, and he knows what he wants for us. As human beings, we too often want the here and now.
Mm-hmm.
We want to know exactly what I want. We want to know that A is going to go to B, that it's going to go to C,
yeah,
and it's a straight line.
That's very true.
That's
isn't
not how God works, unfortunately. He will give us a direct line to follow, but that line may be a curve. Now, I know that sounds like a bit of a weird way to put it.
Yeah.
But he also says over in Jeremiah in chapter 29, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. In this case, it was Jeremiah talking to the exiles in Jerusalem, but that promise can still be claimed by us today, searching for these answers, asking God, who should I marry? What do you want me to do? You know, I claim that promise, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And God says that he will honour us as we claim promises. Now, he's not like a magician. He's not necessarily going to go, poof, and there's the person or there's the job that you want. Because he expects us to walk by faith. And part of walking by faith is trusting in the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
But God has also said, and I can't remember where it's written, but he says, as you trust me, I will lead you.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love the scripture found in John 3:16, and we all generally know it. For God so loved the world that whosoever, whosoever.
Beautiful. Beautiful. No, look, that is something, this whosoever promise is something that you just pick up on it, you run with it. And to me, I certainly know in my ministry, have there been times when I have been uncertain about the future? Yes, there most certainly has been. But do you know, repetitiously, the thing which comes to me is the just shall walk by faith. Do I understand everything that's going to be happening in the future? No, I don't. But do you know, to me, the advice of that pastor all those years ago, to me, I still rings in my ears, Gary, be faithful where you are right now and allow the Lord to direct your paths and be prepared. Sometimes it means being prepared to take on even a scary type of assignment. Mm. I mean, you know, in your own situation, you know, you've got the stability of a good job, a well-paying job, all the rest of it, and all of a sudden you turn around and say, hey, well, actually, I want to retrain midlife and I want to be able to serve in a different manner, in a different capacity, in a way that closer reflects what you want for my life. I think that service is just so important.
It is. It's very important. And the questions still come. I've done this training. I'm working as a volunteer. I'm now waiting to see where God actually leads us to serve him in that capacity.
So the story actually isn't finished yet.
No, it's not finished by a long shot. I mean, you know, my plan at this stage, I guess, is I would love to continue part-time nursing and be a part-time chaplain.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean,
that's your plan.
but that's my plan. I mean, we would probably love to stay here in South Australia.
Mm.
But if God says, you know, go back to Western Australia, we'll go back. If he says go to the East Coast, we'll go there. It's still, once you have got answers, it doesn't mean that the journey's over. I mean, I've still got a few years left.
Yes,
I just am aware that God has led me down this path and he will continue to lead me as I trust in him and he opens the doors.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's the hard thing because I am one of those people that likes to find the answer straight away.
Yes.
And
yes.
Sometimes God says, stop. You've done what I need you to do for now. Recoup. And when it's my time, and that's the secret, when it is my time for you to move on, I will certainly.
There's a beautiful song that says, in his time.
Beautiful. That
beautiful, beautiful song. Folks, let's have prayer together. Father in heaven, Lord, I come to you right now. I just want to say thank you for being the Almighty God. Thank you for being the one who has promised to direct our paths. Lord, thank you for promising to take our hand. Lord, I just pray for any person right now who is praying that prayer. Lord, what will you have me do? Lord, I just pray that they might claim your promises. Lord, that you might open those doors, that they might be empowered to walk forward in faith. Lord, I just pray that you might direct in their lives at this time. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, my friends, it does look like our time's up for today. Thank you so much for joining Pastor Gary and Noel Garvin on Drive Time Big Q&A. Please join us tomorrow when Pastor Caden, Naomi and a very special guest is going to be sharing more about the whole subject of prayer. This will be one ripper of a program. I really look forward to you being with us. But until then, please remember Christ said, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give isn't like the peace that the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. May our God abundantly bless you.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.